Today we're continuing our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, and the section that we're looking at is "I believe in the Holy Ghost." So, before we get into it, let us affirm our faith together as we recite the Apostles' Creed, which is printed on the screen in the back. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. How many of you like to go see the doctor? I do not like going to see the doctor. When I was a kid, the reason I didn't like to go see the doctor was because I was afraid I was going to get a shot. Now I'm just, I have sticker shock from how much it costs to pay to go to the doctor. But I don't like to go to the doctor, even though I know what a doctor can do for you. You know, cartoons when I was growing up, they didn't have to have a purpose. It was just people beating each other up and, you know, it was just, you know, shoot 'em up kind of cartoons like G.I. Joe and stuff. But today, cartoons have to have a purpose. And my kids love to watch cartoons, and one of the ones that Reagan used to watch was Doc McStuffins, right? If you haven't seen Doc McStuffins, I encourage you to never watch it. No, I'm kidding. It's actually a neat show, but it has a purpose, and I think the purpose of the show is to make kids comfortable with wanting to go and see a doctor if they're sick. You know, she is a very, very kind-natured doctor that takes care of toys. And she fixes them and makes them better. And it makes me think of what a doctor does. A doctor puts you back together if you need it. And sometimes they prescribe medications to keep you healthy and diet plans to make sure that you are staying on a path of health. Today we're looking at the portion of the Apostles' Creed, which is, I believe in the Holy Ghost. This is the second place where the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Apostles' Creed. But what we see in the Apostles' Creed is that there's not really a fleshing out of who the Holy Spirit is. But He's a very important part of the Trinity. He's the third person of the Trinity. The persons of the Trinity should not be numerated. There is no real order. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. You know, those two terms can be used interchangeably, right? So the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, same thing. You know, it's not a word that is supposed to turn you off. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but what do we believe about the Holy Spirit? So let's look first at our main passage this morning, which is Genesis chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. It says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It says in verse 1, in the beginning God created. God the Father was there, right? So the creed, it says, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So we flesh that out. God the Father was the maker of heaven and earth. If we flesh that out even further, God the Father is the one that created the plan of salvation for all of us who have sinned, and then he set out to fix our brokenness. And that happened through the person of Jesus Christ. In John 1, verses 1 and 2, which kind of reflects on Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ." It says nothing was created except through Jesus Christ, the Word. So Jesus Christ was there at the beginning in creation. So we see God the Father, God the Son represented in creation. And in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was there at creation. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is not a created being. He's a part of the triune God, the three in one. They're the same in substance. Everything about God is true about the Holy Spirit. And so we see that Jesus, the Son of God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit were together in the work of creation. The Creed doesn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. It details a little bit about God the Father. It goes into length about God the Son. But it says that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. So we know that the Holy Ghost came over Mary, and through that, Jesus was conceived, right? The second part that we see the Holy Ghost in the Creed is, "I believe in the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. It doesn't tell us much more than that. The charismatic movement in the United States and around the world, it accomplished one thing. You know, where the Holy Spirit tends to be the forgotten person of the Trinity, right? It brought it to light. And, you know, in media we see portrayals of pastors, and a lot of times they're very charismatic and loud and yelling and screaming, and, you know, and it's an intense portrayal of what a pastor is. But the charismatic movement did create a conversation about the Holy Spirit and brought it back into the light of he is an important person of the Trinity that deserves worship and glory and honor. So, again, we know that the Spirit is a part of the Trinity. He was there at the creation, meaning he wasn't a created being. He was the means by which Mary became pregnant. What else does he do? He's a counselor. He leads us to faith in Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." It says the renewal of the Holy Spirit. There was a sin problem. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they created this separation between man and God, a creation that could not be bridged by efforts. It says it right there. It's, you know, he saved us not done by works of our own righteousness. So there was a salvation that needed to happen. We were sinners in need of salvation, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to send my Son to live a perfect and sinless life. And then he is going to sacrifice his life on behalf of all of those that are sinful," which is everyone in the room here today, right? So this sacrifice was made on our behalf. It was a sacrifice that needed to be made to meet the wrath of God. The blood was applied to us, which washes us, which regenerates us. So salvation comes from the plan of God the Father sacrificing the Son. So then we have to decide, okay, how do we attain that salvation? Do we work it out on our own? Do we get to work and try to do the best that we can so that God would be forced to accept us? No. No. That's not the point. God already took care of our sin problem. We just need to be awakened to that truth. And how are we awakened to that truth? Well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not anything that we do. It is God's work in us that enlightens us to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. Regeneration comes through the renewal of the Spirit. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He does all the work to save us. Again, I come back to this concept of if we can work out our own faith, if we can do it on our own, then Christ's death on the cross was pointless. When Jesus went to the cross, he went with a purpose, and that purpose was to save all those who would place their faith in him. And that is everyone who has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit to the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Faith in him is the only way we have hope to be restored to God. And the Holy Spirit is a counselor. He's also an indweller. He lives in us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. What an amazing concept that you are a temple, right? Before Christ came, our interaction with God was done through a person going to the Holy of Holies to make intercessions for us. And if that person wasn't pure enough, they would die in the presence of God. But we had to go to a physical place to interact with God. And we were still separated from him by a phone book thick curtain. We weren't able to draw close to him the way that we can now. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, which symbolized our ability to approach the throne of God and not have anybody in our way or any obstacle in our way. We've literally become a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We are able to interact with God. We don't have to pray to another person to go to God for us. We get to pray directly to him. We get to interact with him directly. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He walks with us in our times of trial, in our hurts and our pains. But the Holy Spirit points us to Christ. And you know, I was talking about the doctor earlier. I believe that the Holy Spirit is a doctor. Where we have physical needs that need to be met, we also have a spiritual need that needs to be met. We have to be growing in our faith. We have to be overcoming the things in our life that afflict us. And the way that we do that is we go to the Holy Spirit. We rely on him to build us up in our faith. Like I said, when we sin, we are separated from God. We were found in our mess. Yet that's not where God wants to leave us. It's not. God has called us to live a life of obedience to him. to lean on him, to grow in our faith. We are supposed to grow more and more like Christ and die more and more to our flesh, which means that we were not meant to live a life separated from God. And the Holy Spirit enlightens us to the sin in our life and allows us then to turn our back on it and walk toward Christ. He's a doctor. This week we had a radiator problem. Our car, it overheated, and we're like, what are we going to do? I can't do it myself. You know, there has to be somebody that can fix this for us. And a friend did a favor for us and fixed our car. It was something I could not do. The car had a problem. It was diagnosed. It needed to be fixed. I couldn't do it. I needed help. Spiritually, I am dead in my sin. I am far off from God. I am not sanctified, and I can't do it on my own. I need help. And so that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit enlightens us not only to who Jesus Christ is, but also to our depravity. And he says, okay, this is how we can move forward in growing toward Christ. He illumines us to the truth of God's law and the virtue of following his law. The virtue of conforming our lives to what God has called us to do. And then he gifts us in specific ways. All of us are gifted by the Holy Spirit to do things for God here in the now, right now. We've been gifted by the Spirit to work together as a church to impact the world with the truth. All of our gifts are meant to work together in order to take the message of Christ to the world. I don't know what your gifts are. I don't. I know what mine are. And over time, we will discover what your gifts are. And then we will encourage one another to use those gifts to glorify God. The Spirit wants us to work together to grow God's kingdom. That is what our life is about. Our life isn't about personal pursuits, you know, trying to make a name for ourselves. Our lives are about using everything that we have to glorify God. And the only way we are able to do that is if we lean on the Spirit, we call on him to help us to be sanctified, to heal us, to remind us of what Christ has done for us so that we can grow in our faith and then we can share that faith with others. 1 Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. Sanctification is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. And sanctification comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it's for obedience to Christ. I have a friend, Scott Castleman, who is a pastor in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And he has this quote, and I love this quote. Remember, Jesus wants you to come just as you are. There should be nothing that stops you from approaching the throne of God. There is no sin in your past. There's no sin in your present. There will be no sin in your future that should keep you from coming close to God. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Draw close to me. Draw close to God. He says, come as you are. Then he continues in that statement. Jesus wants you to come as you are, but not to stay as you are. Right? He wants us to call on the Holy Spirit to change our hearts so that we can serve God in a way that glorifies him. And the only way to do it is if we rely on him to clean us up, to make us pure through the washing of the blood, and then to sanctify us through the work of the Spirit in our life as we grow in our obedience and our faithfulness to him. He has been faithful to us. We cannot possibly be faithful enough to earn his favor, but he does call us to live according to his word, to serve him with our gifts, and then to teach and to grow his church. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we apologize. We apologize if we have neglected our understanding of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to dig deep into your word, to grow in our understanding of how you indwell us and you care for us and you love us through your Spirit here on earth. God, you've called us to live in obedience to you. Help us to call on the Holy Spirit to build us up in faith so that we can walk more and more like Christ every day and less toward our sin. Help us to turn our backs on our sin. Help us to seek repentance. God, we thank you for the enlightenment that comes through the Holy Spirit. We get to know Christ for who he is, as the one that comes to repair that relationship that was broken. God, remind us every day of the work that you have done on our behalf so that we can rely on it and not on our own works. Lord, this day we continue to give you praise and glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.